Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all the deeps. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. And the Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first reading on this second Sunday of Easter is from the book of Acts. Now, the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to them was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them. For as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading from John's first letter there, in the first chapter. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life that was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord. I invite you to rise and honor the gospel. From John's Gospel in the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then his disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated, and I invite our young ones up. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have done to gather us together into your presence. We pray you move by your Spirit, remove distractions from our hearts and minds as we rest in the accomplished works of Christ for us. And we hear his word. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you imagine what that week would have been like? I mean, here we are 8 days later from Easter, where we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord that happened on the third day after he was crucified and then buried in the tomb, rested for a whole day, and then was up sometime early in the morning, walking around, alive, in the flesh, showing himself to people. That didn't sound right. But there, and present with people. And he was there as he walked along, and he was there gathering with them to eat, and there gathering with them to tell them he was alive. And in that room in the afternoon, after Mary had gone to the tomb to prepare his body for burial, and then after she had run back and told the disciples, and after Peter and John had run back to the tomb to verify her words, because, you know, trust and verify, I guess, they ran back to go check it out. And they were left confused because they didn't see Jesus there, nor did he show himself to them there like he had to Mary when he said, "Mary, stand up, I'm here." So they were left confused all to their own. And then as the evening came, they gathered together into a locked room, scared. Their rabbi had been killed. Their rabbi had been buried. Their rabbi, their leader, their teacher, now been raised, and they had no idea what to think, and this is just mere hours after everything. And he showed up. Can you imagine if we had the windows, well, these windows don't open, but the doors locked and everything else, and Jesus just shows up right in the middle of church. He says, "Peace be with you." First off, would you kind of be surprised? Probably. If someone just showed up when all the doors were locked and you knew they weren't there to gather to begin with and everybody's a little on edge anyway, and he just showed up, it'd be pretty amazing. You might be a little freaked out. He's saying, "Calm down. Peace be with you." Right? It's me. The excitement after that Sunday evening would have had to have shaped their entire week. Can you imagine how many folks they were telling that Jesus was alive? How many folks that they went to go tell? How many family members that they would go see after that day? And throughout that week, how many times they would have told Thomas, "The guy is alive." Because Thomas wasn't there. It's unfair to say he was the only doubter. I mean, all the other disciples didn't trust Mary's word either after she had come back, and they didn't know what to do with the fact that the tomb was empty. So they were still trying to wrestle with this thing of doubt, wrestling whether or not Jesus was actually who he said he was, if he was actually resurrected. But now that they had seen him, sharing that word with Thomas, dear friend who had seen Jesus do all the things throughout the last 3 years, seen him accomplish all the things he said he would. There when he changed water into wine, there when he made food for thousands, there when he healed people's legs, there when he brought sight to the blind, there when he made deaf people hear, there when he made lame people walk, there when he said, destroy this temple, I'll raise it up again after 3 days, and now the tomb's empty and he's trying to figure out what's going on with all of it. That same Thomas would have heard from his friends throughout the week, Jesus is alive. He's true. It's real. Thomas was obstinate. We all have friends and family members that can be fairly obstinate about this. And I think this relationship between Thomas and the disciples is a little more understanding for most of us anyway than maybe the doubt that Thomas was walking through. Some will absolutely walk through a time of wondering whether or not all this stuff that goes on in Scripture, all this stuff that went on in history is really real. Some won't wrestle with that at all. But I can guarantee you're going to have a loved one or a friend who hears all those words that you believe, all those words of the firsthand accounts of the guys that walk through it. And they say, no, unless I see it, I won't believe it. I know I've got family members that are like that. I've got friends that are like that. And we still get to walk through life with them and speak about the truths of Scripture and speak about the peace that Jesus brings and speak about the forgiveness that is given so freely and graciously and speak about the love of God for his entire creation and the promise of a new resurrection and all these things. And it seems like they tend to fall on deaf ears, just like Thomas's. He says, I won't believe it, unless I'm able to put my finger into the nail print of his hand and stick my hand into his side where the spear went, I won't believe it. The beneficial thing for the disciples was that Jesus was still walking around and he could show up and actually be there present to Thomas and say, Thomas, look, here I am. We don't have that luxury right now. Jesus has ascended to the right hand of the Father. Doesn't seem to show up in that same way in our day and age right now. That's okay. Doesn't mean the words are less true. But as Jesus stood there and Thomas says, my Lord and my God, I don't even have to do the things that I said I would need to do. I don't need to put my finger into his hand and I don't need to put my hand into his side. I don't need to do any of that because, Lord, I see you. He said, that's good. That's good, Thomas. Because if you saw me and still didn't believe, we're going to have to talk, right? He said, that's great that you see me and you believe. But blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believe. I mean, Jesus showed himself to 500 people at once, as the Apostle Paul said, and showed up in real time and place to say, look, guys, I'm alive. Showed up to the disciples so that they would know he was alive. Met them in Galilee like he said he would so they would know he was alive. Continued to do miracles. Continued to do things as far as, you know, filling the nets with fish and having a fire ready with food on it before the guys even brought food into the shoreline to sit down and have breakfast with them. And he walked along with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, right? And as he sat and ate with them and broke bread, then he opened their eyes to everything that he had been talking about with them along the road, explaining how all the words of Scripture, all the things that happened with Abraham and Moses and David, all those folks who had never seen Jesus and yet believed, how all those things pointed to himself. It's kind of amazing to think, right? All those patriarchs of the faith, all throughout those thousands of years, are kind of in the same boat you are. You've heard a word from God that was handed to you on good sources, And it brings a promise. It brings a promise of life. It brings a promise of salvation. It brings a promise of God actually caring for his creation. It brings a promise of God actually wanting to love his creation and show forgiveness to his creation for the way in which his creation broke itself. And he says, I'm going to fix it. And that was the promise to all the guys before. And they said, there's a Messiah coming. There's one who's going to fix all of it. And I promise you, he's going to do it fully and completely. That same promise is given to you guys. Except we get to look back on it now and the fact that it already happened. And most all of you, as far as I know, rest in that very promise and know that those words that were given are absolutely true. Jesus did show up, that he was raised from the dead, that he is alive, right? I mean, just a little while ago, I said, Christ is risen, and I heard this resounding, he is risen indeed, hallelujah, praise God. Jesus is who he says he is. And then I can only imagine again that week as they all tried to talk to Thomas, and then the weeks following. I mean, you heard in John's letter too, right? Look, I'm writing this so that you guys would believe. Those of us that saw it, those of us that heard him, those of us that experienced life with this Jesus, with this Messiah, the one who said he was the Son of God and raised up from the dead, this very one is the one who we're telling to you so that you would believe, so that you would know his words are true, so that you would know that he came for you, so that you would have life. I mean, right then, in those very first few decades after the resurrection, all these disciples writing their letters to folks, not to just say, man, this guy was great, you should have seen all the stuff he did, but to say, I want to share this word with you. I want to walk through life with you and share this word with you so that you would know that there is life and salvation. That's what we get to do with our family and friends. With all those who maybe have heard a word a long time ago and forgotten it, or all those who haven't trusted that word yet at all, or for even those within the church that are wrestling with all of it, no matter what age, we get to walk through life with them just like the disciples walked through life with Thomas and continue to bring a word to them that pointed him to Jesus, and we get to continue to bring a word to our friends and family to point them to Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, there's so much that you all get to do with folks that I will never meet. That as you come here and hear a good word for you and get, you know, that reassurance that your sins are forgiven and that God absolutely loves you and that his word is true and that all the things that happened in history happened in a particular way just so that you would have salvation in Jesus, in his accomplished works, in his resurrection. You come so often so that you would hear that and you would know that God loves you and has forgiven you. And that's the same word that we get to carry out into the world, right? It's actually kind of scary to think about it. Jesus showed up in that first Sunday with the disciples and he said, peace be with you. And he breathed on them and gave them of his spirit. And he said, even as the Father has sent me, so am I sending you. The sins you forgive are forgiven. The sins you don't forgive aren't forgiven. But that direction that he gives to go out and carry his word, what a beautiful word to carry. To be able to point our loved ones to a God who loves them, a God who brings peace and a God who brings forgiveness, right? And we're not going to do it perfectly, not by any means, and that's why we continue to gather together and learn more and how to dig deeper into his word and how that word shapes our lives. But as life goes on and you continue to hear that word, it gives you more and more confidence to be able to carry that word into the places you go. So that just as the disciples would sit with Thomas and continue to point him to Jesus, we get to continue to walk through life pointing one another to Christ. In those broken hours and broken days when things feel like nothing is going right at all and God doesn't seem to be present at all, he usually brings one of you right alongside one another to continue to point you back to the love that God has for you in Christ. And if you don't have that voice in your ear, give me a call. I'll be that voice. Continue to point you back to what God has done for you in Jesus, that he has raised him from the dead, that your sins are absolutely forgiven on account of Christ alone. And in him, we have life. That's why John wrote his book. You heard it right there in the verses of the gospel. Jesus did so many other things. We could have written them all down, but there wouldn't be space. These are written, though, so that you would believe and so that you would have salvation in his name. Because that's the only place our salvation comes from, is through Christ and what he has done for us. And in his name we pray. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the forgiveness and the salvation which you have worked out for us through your Son and by his life, death, and resurrection. We pray you continue to work by your Spirit to point us to Jesus and work through us to point others to Jesus so they would know of his promise to return and his promise to bring us into your presence for eternity. And in his name we pray. Amen. Christ is